Well, again, thanks for being here. Also, if you're watching us online, thanks for joining. We are in our series called But I Tell You. It's biblical worldview, meaning what is it that you believe is true that sets the stage for how you live your life? That's what a worldview is. Why do I believe what I believe? What do I think is true? What dictates truth? How do I process information? That's what a worldview is. Everybody has it. A biblical worldview is one that says that what the Bible says is true, I believe is true. Pretty simple conceptually, it'll cost you your life to live out practically. A belief system, even if you struggle with it at times, is what dictates how you live your life. How you live is based on what you believe. Now again, we don't always do that perfectly, but in general, what you do, you think, for the most part, is right. Who makes decisions and thinks, I'm wrong, but I'm gonna do this anyway? Sometimes everybody does that. This is wrong and I'm gonna do it anyway. Shouldn't do that. But in general, this is what I think is true, and maybe this is true for you. I think I'm right. What I do, I think is right. The question is it? And that's what we're talking about through this series. Today, we get to talk about a very pointed message. We're looking in Matthew 13, and we're gonna look at a parable that Jesus tells and explains. And what he's talking about is truth, and do you actually know it? It's very black and white. And so this morning, you get an opportunity to do an assessment of your life, of your heart, of what you believe, of how you're living, and we're gonna compare it against what God's word says in hopes that you would be encouraged, maybe you're gonna be a little bit convicted, but that you would see what is true based on what God's word says, and do a little heart work assessment of where your life is at. We're gonna be talking about the parable of the sower, so we're gonna be talking about soils and seed and crop and the production of what happens, and are using that story as an analogy for your life. What is the condition of your heart? Do you see and hear God's truth? What is being produced in your life? Now I know for me, I struggle to say things that show that I'm true and I'm right and I'm doing what God wants me to do, and I can say it, but oftentimes I struggle to live it. And so today the challenge for you would be to be honest with where you are, to be willing to look at not only what you think and what you hope and what you want, but actually what you're doing and what is happening, and compare that to what God says is true for you now and what a next step could be. So I've wanted to put seatbelts on the chairs. They don't have them, but I would say buckle up if we had them, because we're diving in head first today. Are you ready? All right, here we go. So we are in Matthew chapter 13. There's gonna be three large sections of Matthew 13 that we're gonna talk about, and then we're gonna break it apart. But the question for you as we look at this morning is, do you believe that you're a person that sees and hears what is true about life and about God? Have you seen and have you heard what is true? Is that proven by how you live? We're gonna look at what Jesus says about how to make that assessment and what to do no matter where you are. Matthew 13, 1 through 23, Jesus is gonna tell a story. There's gonna be some dialogue about the story that he tells. And then he's gonna explain the story that he tells. Okay, so we're gonna look at all that, and then we're gonna ask ourselves some questions. Here we go, Matthew 13, starting in verse 1. It said, that same day Jesus went out to the house and he sat by the lake. Such large crowds had gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. It says, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and they ate it up. He says, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, so it sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, but then when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and it choked out the plants. But yet still other seed fell on the good soil, where it produced a crop of 160 or 30 times that which was sown. He says this in verse 9, whoever has ears, let them hear. Jesus tells that story. And so we see that after that story, his disciples, and who were disciples of Jesus again? They're those that are learners of him. They study, they follow, they listen. And in this context, in the rabbinical teaching context of this culture, they literally walked around and followed and did life and spent time with Jesus, their rabbi, to learn and understand. For the purpose of learning and understanding, and then repeating. Learn and understand and repeat what they were taught by their teacher, the rabbi. Those people that were close to Jesus, not necessarily the giant crowds that were out on the shore when he was in the boat, but those that were close to him came up to him, and here's what happened next. The disciples came to him and they asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And Jesus replied, he says, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. And he goes on, he says, whoever has will be given more and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Verse 13, this is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be seeing or ever seeing, but never perceiving. He says, for this people's heart has become, what's that word? Calloused, and they hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. This part's important. Otherwise, or but, if they hadn't, if they wouldn't, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn, and I would what? Heal them. If they were to, I would heal them. If they listen, if they would hear, they would understand. But they don't. And then we're looking at the last section of this story. So Jesus explains that to his disciples, and then he goes on further, and he starts in verse 16. Again, here's another but I tell you statement. He says, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. He does a little more explaining. He says, for truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people who long to see what you see did not see it, to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. He's going to explain the story. Verse 19, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and they don't understand it, the evil one comes along and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed that was sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word at once and receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Verse 22, the seed falling on the thorns among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word, making it, what? Unfruitful. And he wraps it up by saying this, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So what Jesus is telling us, we're going to break apart and look at. He tells a story. They ask questions. He explains why, the reality of people. And then he goes on to explain the story that he told so that they would what? Understand it. You see that in there. So here's a couple things to take note of. And then we're going to do a little heart assessment, a little soil assessment, a little crop evaluation. Take a look at our eyes and check our ears and see where we are today. Here's what I see from the story. First of all, Jesus reveals truth in a very specific way for a very specific purpose. And what was it? The way in which he shared truth was through a parable. It was through a story, right? And the reason why he said that he did it was because of why? Because some would hear it and see it, and some would what? Not. Clear as mud? Some will hear it and see it, and some won't. Clearly says that. Do you think that Jesus was flustered and didn't know what to do and was like, I don't really know, God, how to explain. I'll just try a story, and hopefully it'll work. Is that what you see here? Absolutely not. Jesus is doing it very intentionally because he knows what? His audience. He knows the best way to reveal truth. And he's choosing to do this on purpose because some hear it and some won't. Have you ever been in a conversation or an environment? Maybe it's with your kids, maybe it's with your neighbors, right? Maybe it's a coworker, maybe you're watching a game or doing something, right? Having fun. And in the conversation, you get to that point to where you're like, you know what? It doesn't matter what I say right now. It doesn't matter how I say it right now. They are not going to hear it. They are not going to listen. Parents, let me see your hands. Amen? Right? You're like, man, it doesn't matter what I say or how I say it because they flat out aren't going to hear it. It's kind of what Jesus is doing right here. He's still sharing truth. He's still revealing it. But he knew his audience in the context. He knew what it means to be a person that sees and hears. He knows what it means for a disciple to want to understand and hear it. And he chooses to reveal truth in that way. Do you hear the truth this morning? God speaks to you in such a way in which if you have ears to hear it, you will. But if you don't, you what? You won't. That's one of the major takeaways from the word right here. God speaks. God is the revealer of truth. God does it with intentionality. He does it with completeness. He has given you, if you are a believer in Jesus, the Holy Spirit to understand, to comprehend, and there's a way in which you go about it. We'll get there in a second. But God reveals truth, and you have the ability to hear it and see it, and you also have the ability to not. And that is what God is saying, and that is what he's teaching his followers. Everybody's not going to hear it and see it, you guys. So here's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Do you see and hear today? What's the condition of your heart today? How do you know it? Let's keep going. Jesus, at the very end of that first section 9, says, whoever has ears, let them what? Hear. Does he say, only the very select, perfect few of you that know my trickery are going to understand what is true? Is that what he does? He says, whoever. Who's whoever? Anyone. Whoever has ears to hear the truth, let them what? Hear it. The Bible says that Jesus wishes none to perish and be lost, but all to come to the saving repentance in the reality of who God is. Jesus wants every single person to hear the truth, but he also knows the condition in the hearts of men and women. He understands what it means for people to live in the flesh and reject him and choose themselves. And he's brilliant and perfect and righteous. And he delivers truth in a methodology that gives you the chance to choose to see it and hear it or not. Whoever has ears, let them hear the truth. It's an invitation for everyone, for you, to hear and live and see and understand the truth. Jesus says that those that seek to hear and they see it and they understand it will gain even more. How much more? A little bit more? He said in abundance. They will be given more. But those that do not, even what they have will be taken from them. What is he talking about? What is it? Well, in context, he tells the disciples who see and hear, you have been given the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, meaning you understand truth. You know who I am. You know who Jesus is in context, Lord, Savior, Messiah. They had already seen and committed to that. Now, did they know that perfectly? No. Did they know every single perfect thing all the time? Not even close. But they had been given and they had seen the truth and understood it. And what Jesus is saying is those that have eyes to see and ears to hear, that understand who God is in their life, that lives it and shows it, they will gain everything and more in abundance in this life and the next. They will see truth. They will understand who God is. They will have value and purpose, and they know where they are in their lives. They know what is their priority. They know where their joy comes from. They know how to fight well. They know that it's going to be a struggle. They know that their life is not their own. They will be given more and more and more in abundance in the kingdom if they see and hear. Do you see that? In those that don't, what? Will not. In fact, he doesn't say they will not. He says what it is that they believe that they actually have, even that will be taken. Now, if you do not have the truth, the Spirit of God, the reality of the kingdom in your life, that means what you do have, that other group of people, is of themselves. It's of this world. And so what Jesus is saying, those that reject, those that don't hear, those that don't listen, those that don't pursue, those that don't ask to understand, those that don't seek to find, what they have, what they've built, what they've garnered is of themselves, their own kingdom. Whether that's power and prestige, whether that's their own business, whether that's money and houses, or maybe that's identity, or whatever that is that they've built and tried to like keep and guard and say it's mine, claw and fight for, what's gonna happen to it? It's gonna be taken. It's gonna be taken in this life or at the end of it, right? Some of you have experienced that. You've done everything you can to build your kingdom and then it's been taken from you. Some of us are doing that right now and it hasn't been taken. But I guarantee you this, if it's not taken when you're alive, you'll lose it when you're dead because you can't take it with you. And Jesus is very clearly telling those that seek out the kingdom first to understand why they're even in existence and what creation is, would know that that's not what life is about. But if you're seeking and chasing and finding that, it's gonna be taken from you and you can't take it with you. Lastly, Jesus says that in the end, the fulfillment of Isaiah, the reason why people do not see and they cannot hear is because of what? They have a calloused heart. They do not see. They do not understand. They're looking and listening, kind of, but not perceiving. And the root cause of that issue comes from the heart. It's been calloused. It's been turned off. It's rejected the things of God. Has prioritized self over kingdom, has decided that they know better, that they want to do it their way, that whatever it may be, is it a heart that is receptive to what God has for what is true about their life, is rejected because a hardness of heart. A hardened heart towards God and the things of God will close your eyes and plug your ears. But then Jesus says this, which is why the gospel message is the most perfect and unbelievably joy-filled giving message that has ever been in existence. Jesus says that that's true, and that may be true for you today, just like it was true for them then. But he says, but if they would turn, if they would soften their hearts, if they would choose to have eyes that would see, if they would try to seek and understand, have ears that would hear, if they would, if you will, in turn, I will heal you. I will save you from a life that is ruled by your own. I will save you from the life that is there, here and now and stuff. I will give you life abundant. I will give it to you eternally. If you will turn, I will save you. That's good news, guys. That's the gospel good news. Now, if you're like me, you're like, oh, I just want to sit in all my guilt and shame and brokenness, and I don't even want to come back right now based on what you're saying. But if you have ears to hear, you hear the whole message. The whole message is that God is pining, he's chasing, he's revealing truth to you in a way that you'll see it, that you'll hear it, and he's coming after you. And he's doing everything that he can to try to reveal it to you. He does it through story. He does it through his word. He does it through other people. He does it through circumstances. He is nonstop, reckless, kind of coming after you in every single way should you choose to change your heart. And he tells a story in a parable to help us do that. And we're going to talk about what that looks like now. I hope that you're thinking about where you are today, the ones that you love, where they are today. Not only what you think and what you want, but what is evidenced by the fruit in your life. And so now we're going to flip to the parable to help us understand a little more, right? Jesus tells the parable about seed. He tells the parable about a crop that grows. And he talks about the soil in which that is received and produces that. So for the parable, the soil is our what? It's our hearts. If a calloused, non-receptive, rejective heart does not receive the truth of the seed, then nothing will grow, right? He says those that do see and hear and seek to understand have a heart that is receptive to the truth, to where it is received and it takes root, it grows deep, and then it grows and produces what? A crop that is fruitful. How fruitful? hold on, boys and girls. Jesus says 100-fold sometimes. Sometimes 60, sometimes 30. That's up to him, not up to you. But a disciple, a follower of Jesus, a person that has ears to hear and eyes to see, someone that believes, seeks to understand, they understand that their heart is one that needs to be conditioned to receive the truth of God, the word in their life, and it will produce fruit in their life according to the gospel truth of what God has put in it. Do you see that in here? So we're gonna talk about some reality of what that's like using the analogy in the parable. Who has a garden right now? I cannot raise my hand. We have dirt in a box, but that is it. Okay, garden, if you have a yard, you'll know what it's like, right? To see soil, to see something that grows, all the different things that grow in it. And again, Jesus uses parables so that we understand. Parable is a truth that helps us understand a truth. God knows how we're wired, and so this grows in us. So here's what we see from the story. If we're gonna be disciples, followers of Jesus, based on the parable, here's a couple things that they do. Person that sees and hears, seeks to understand, a disciple, is one that understanding the story tends to the soil, okay? They tend to the soil, they pay attention to the soil, which is your what? Heart. A disciple is one that understands the condition of their heart. They understand the purpose of their heart. What is it for? Is it theirs? Is it God's? What is it like? How do you tend to your heart so that you can be a person that sees and receives what's true about God for the purpose of what again? Producing a crop. Even that right there, do you see and hear? Purpose of your life and your heart is not to produce a crop for you. It is not to be dirt that does nothing. Purpose and intent of your life is to be a soil, an environment in which when God's word and truth is placed in it, that it cultivates and produces something that is 100-fold, that is massive and abundant, so you could never hope or see or imagine. And it's not the seed of truth and the spirit of you that does that, it's of God in you. A disciple is one that tends to the soil. Let's talk about soil for a second, right? God says that a blind, non-hearing, non-seeing, not understanding, not believing person, right, has a calloused heart. What's a callous? Anybody have calluses? I have calluses on my hands. How do you get calluses? My man right here, you come up on stage, bro. Let's get through this. Go. Let's get the mic. Working is what he said. Okay? Working. So I do CrossFit sometimes begrudgingly, and we do a lot of work on a like pull-up bar and on a barbell. And I have significant calluses on my hands from doing that a lot. But it's not just because I gently touch the bar, it's because I do work with the bar. Okay, and that work has friction, and it's hot, and it's grinding, and it's repetitive, and it's difficult, and it hurts, and it gets sore, and it's mindful, and the result of that is callousness, right? When Jesus refers to your heart as calloused, and you're thinking about where you are today, could it be that your heart has been calloused because of some heart friction? Because it's been hurt? Because it's been grinding? Because it's been something that has been in opposition, that it's just been pounded on and beaten into, and it's been challenging, and it's been hurt, and it's difficult. And now, because of what's happened in life and in your relationships and maybe in your business or your finances or your health or your parenting or your kids or whatever it may be, that your heart has been pounded on and it's calloused and now it's hard and you can't receive what God has for you. No matter how you get there, to be someone that sees and hears is understanding the condition of your heart. How did it get there? Get a calloused heart because life's hard. And it can be challenging. But just because it is that way doesn't mean that it has to stay that way. We're going to flip the analogy, and now Jesus goes to soil, right? A hard, rocky, dusty, concrete-like soil is like a calloused heart. Amen? That's what his analogy is. I was out pulling weeds in my yard literally yesterday. Did not want to. Hot. My yard is terrible. Lots of it is rocky and dusty. And guess what is growing in the rocky, dusty concrete of my yard? Weeds. What else grows in rocky, hard, dusty, cruddy, calloused dirt? Nothing. Weeds, right? You know this is true, right? If you have a gardener try, like, oh man, I want to have a garden. It's great. I'm going to get the soil. I'm going to spend money I don't want to. I'm going to put fertilizer in it. I don't know how it works. We're going to do all this stuff, right? And I'm going to read books and get gloves and the little knee pads, because if you don't, nothing grows. You're going to do that. It takes forever. It doesn't work. And yet, like in May, you like look out the front door and there's a 17-inch weed growing out of your driveway. Weeds grow in non-tended soil, right? That's dirty and rocky and not taken care of. That's dusty, that's unwatered, that's too firm, that's not paid attention to. Guess what grows in the heart of a person that is calloused? Weeds. What's weeds in the parable? Sin. Selfishness. It's rejection of God. That massive weed that's growing in your yard that you don't want, do you water it? Nope. You fertilize it and take care of it and cover it from the birds and the sun? Nope. Guess what? Still grows. There could be sin in your life because you have a hardened heart and you don't really have to do much. That bad boy's going to grow. Amen? What's the soil of your heart today? Rocky, hard soil is difficult. When you have weeds, because it's a fruit, a crop cannot grow in that heart. When you have weeds that grow in that heart, right? Like the analogy of the weeds in your garden, let God speak to you through the analogy. And you try to pull those weeds out, how easy is it to pull a weed out of a really hard dirt? It's like impossible, okay? Whoever like wrote the movie of Sword in the Stone did so by pulling weeds out of hard dirt. Hang with me, you know this is true, right? You try to pull weeds out of hard dirt, it's like pulling a sword from the stone. It's like pulling a weed out of concrete. And when you pull that weed out, most of the time what happens? See, come on, you know what I'm talking about. It breaks off, right? And in anger and frustration and bitterness because you don't want to tend to it, maybe that's me. What's left behind? The roots. And inevitably what happens? It's come right back, right? Bigger and badder than ever. And you're like, I just thought I tended to that sin in my heart that I didn't really deal with. The analogy's rich, you guys. You know how easy it is to pull a weed out of like a nice, tended to, tilled up garden that has rich soil? You ever tried to pull a weed out of that? Bunk. Just saying, right? A heart that still is soft and malleable, that receives the word of God, is one that's still gonna have some weeds in it. I'm gonna talk about that in a second. You're going to have weeds in your life. You can have a heart that still is not perfect. God doesn't ask you to be perfect. But a heart that is tilled and ready to receive God, that's useful to grow and produce, is still going to have weeds. But even when you have weeds in your life, they're easier to remove. See and hear. Jesus says, do you see and do you hear? Oftentimes I don't see and I don't hear, not because of what God has done or other people in my life, but because of what I have done and what I do in my life. Sometimes I don't want to listen or hear or see God because I think I already know. I think I already know what God's gonna do and how it's gonna work. I feel like I should already have all the answers. I'm not curious about God's word. I'm not willing to enter into relationships or serve in a way that I don't really understand, because oftentimes I'm still stuck in my own selfish world that says, I know how this works, God. I know what's going to happen. I don't need you to tell me anymore. And instead of seeing and being curious and listening and being passionate about the wonder of what God can do in the soil of my life, I just tell him what's gonna happen and I just say, I don't need you to speak to me, God. I already know. We talked about being in a conversation where you know nobody's gonna listen, right? You ever been in a conversation to where you're talking and the person you're talking to is like just waiting for you to stop moving your lips because I got so many things to say right now. It's gonna be awesome because all I care about is myself. And all I wanna do is tell you about all my problems and all the things and how great I am and it's so good and all. Stop talking and I just wanna tell you everything and I'm not gonna listen at all. And then as soon as they're done, they're like, thanks, bye. Those are my best friends. You know what I'm talking about. You're like, they're not listening at all right now. They don't want to hear anything I have to say. All they want to do is tell me everything about themselves. Not seeing. Not even trying to listen. And we can joke and we can laugh and know that that's a reality. And then again, we are willing to come here to church today and sit with each other and look at God's word and go, okay, now let's do a heart assessment and ask myself, when do I do that with the Lord? God, I don't see, I don't hear, I don't understand, but I sure as heck don't listen. Because all I want to do, Lord, is I just want to come to you and I'm going to tell you all my stuff all the time. It's all about me. I'm not going to be slow to speak and quick to listen. I'm going to be fast to talk and not listen at all. God this, God this, God that, God this, God this, God that, need this, want that, did this, fix this, help this, do that, whatever, how come? Just me, not just me. And sometimes it's not vindictive like that. Sometimes it's like, God, I just really want to, God, I want to understand, I want to know you. And he says, we have ears to hear and eyes to see. Will you listen in the way in which I'm asking you to? And oftentimes when I find myself in that situation, honestly, y'all, I say, no. God, I want you to do it my way. God, I don't want to listen to what you have to say. I want you to listen to what I have to say. And then I want you to do what you say you do my way, not your way. Guys, it doesn't work. And what happens is, in those moments, I start to realize that my heart, in the condition of my life, in the soil of where I'm at, is like the first couple three that he described. But here's what the good news is. Verse 9, verse 16, where God says, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. Jesus does not demand perfection. He does not say that we have to be perfect. But what he does ask us to do is be willing. So what Jesus says is, if you're willing to listen, if you're willing to turn, if you're willing to tend to that soil, you can be blessed because you will see and you will hear and I will show you and I will heal you from that which ails you and I will give you life and purpose in abundance and you will not be a slave to the sin in your heart and the selfishness of the flesh of this world and you don't have to build your own kingdom and I can save you from that if you will turn and listen. And here's how that happens, you guys. You have to be willing to look at your heart and your life and be honest with where you are, and you have to work the soil. If your heart is hardened, if it's dried out, if it's dry and dusty, what does it need? Water. What does Jesus say is water? Him, his word, prayer. You have to water the soil and prepare it and expect that what God is going to do is going to take, right? And that's what he says, the first one that he scatters on the path. You would not, if you expected God to do something in your life, in the form of a seed, to plant in a garden, and this is the most important thing for you, and you're like, the purpose of my life is for this to take root and grow, to produce fruit that matters. You would not take that and walk out to your driveway this afternoon when it's 90 degrees and spike it on the ground and go, why won't you grow? You wouldn't do that. You would not do that. So when God has truth to share with you in your life, and he's trying to tell you through people, he's trying to tell you through the word, and your heart is calloused, you should not be surprised when it doesn't grow in your life. Do you hear me? What he says is understand that you gotta put a little work into your heart. He talks about a calloused heart. You know how I get rid of my calluses most of the time? Unfortunately, it's not because I tend to them. It's not because I take care of them. And it's not because I'm paying attention. Most of the time I get rid of them when they get ripped off because I'm ignoring them. And God will do that for you in your life if he has to. He will rip apart your calloused, broken, dry, and hardened heart to try to get to you. But he doesn't want it to stay that way either. He'll provide you the ability for it to be softened and to listen. Disciples are people that water a hardened heart. They are people that are willing to work the soil. They have an expectation that what God is gonna do in their life is gonna result in what? A fruitful crop. Who is the fruit of? The Holy Spirit. A disciple that sees and hears understands that their life is not their own. That God wants to do something in them that they can never hope or imagine. Abundantly more is what Jesus says, is what Paul says. But in order for that to happen, they're willing to look at the soil and they're gonna water it and they're gonna till it. And how do you till up hard concrete, dirty, cruddy ground? You gotta put in the work. You gotta have an expectation. You gotta understand that there's gonna be a couple of weeds in there. But what Jesus says is don't get sidetracked by a little bit of the weeds. He tells another parable later, and I don't have time today, where he says, let the weeds go, but pay attention to the crop. Some of you have been doing a good job of fighting to softening your heart, to receive the word, to have God do something in it. But what happens is, along with the soil that's ready to grow a crop for God, there's still a couple weeds, guys, right? He says there's gonna be weeds. You're gonna have struggles and trials. But some of you are like, the only thing I can ever focus on is the little problems in my life. Look, there's a weed again. Look, I did this. I failed at this. I failed at that. I'm broken at this. They didn't do this or that. In the meantime, God's trying to grow a crop in your life. And there's people that are desiring to see what that is. Somebody that says, I do everything I can to expect that God can do something in my life. And I'm consistent in the word and I'm reading because I want to water that and I want to till it up so God will have it be there and it's growing and I see it. But somebody needs to see what that looks like. But all you do is go, don't pay attention to what God's doing in my life. I just want to complain about the weeds that I still have. Here's the struggles that I have. Look, here's the problems that I have. Look, and God's going, would you tend to the crop of what I'm doing in your life? Because it will overcome the weeds. But if you're a person that focuses only on the weeds and only on the problems and only on the struggles, your energy and effort and water and fertilizer is going to the problem and not to what is the overcoming solution, which is Christ in you, the production of fruit in your life that will overcome the weeds in your heart. Today, where are you? Do you want to be a person that sees and hears? Do you want to be a person that says, God, I'll let you do what you do in my life? God, I want to fight to soften my heart. God, I'm willing to do it your way, in relationship with people, reading your word, in prayer, in honesty, in asking, in questioning, in helping. Or will you be somebody that believes that they're seeing and never perceiving? That thinks that they're hearing but is not? I'll close with this. A disciple that sees and hears has an expectation that what God will do in their life is significant. That the purpose of their life is to produce fruit for him. Somebody that's willing to understand their life is not their own, their heart is not their own, that there's going to be weeds in the soil, but it's one that is willing to do it God's way. Mark chapter 4, verse 20 tells another parable about a weed in wheat growing. And he's talking specifically about the crop. And he says that the sower goes out and he plants the seed, much like the truth of this parable. And it says that the person has prepared the soil in advance. They're ready to receive what is true from God in their life. It says that this person then goes to bed. He wakes up in the morning and that crop is grown. And it says that he doesn't know how. Doesn't know how God's going to work. Doesn't know how it's going to grow exactly. But it describes how it beautifully takes root and it grows up. First the stalk and then into the kernel and then into the leaves and into the fruit that it produces. And the reason why Jesus tells that parable is he says, your part is to prepare the soil of your heart. His part is to dictate how and when and why an abundant crop of reproducing what is true happens. Your part is to be willing to let God do his. I hope that you see and hear what is good and what is true this morning.